Be Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, church family and friends. I really love these autumn mornings. I could have said fall, but I prefer the word autumn. That's quite a prayer, isn't it? You know, the entire book of Ephesians contains at least half a dozen or more prayers. I think it came from the heart of a man we know as Paul the Apostle, who once considered himself to be the chief of sinners, but who had benefited from the grace and mercy of God. And I think it made him into a man of prayer, not just an apostle of God or an apostle of Christ. When you understand from where you've fallen, from where Jesus picked you up and saved you, doesn't that change everything about us and our relationship to God? I think it does. And so, Paul talks about in verse 7 of Ephesians 3 that of this gospel that he has devoted his life to, he was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace. If it wasn't for grace, where would we be? God's grace changed everything and made it possible for us to address God as our Father. He says of this gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. I think the God that Paul prayed to was big enough, don't you? Paul prayed to an awesome God. I think of Paul's letting the reader know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that there were days he struggled with what he had talked about to God, especially something that just didn't seem to disappear, something that gnawed at him, something that in the end he would realize that this is something I have to constantly keep coming back to God with, but the answer that he was getting from God was perhaps not what he had quite thought. You know, you could have listed, you know, God, you have me writing at least 12 to 13 books of what will be known as the New Testament. I have become an important apostle in the kingdom of God. Could you not just take this thorn out of my flesh, just this one, so I could be a better apostle? So I could have a clearer mind in what I will say, what I will preach, the advice that I will give. That wasn't what God did. That wasn't the way God wanted to answer the prayer. God just simply said, and finally, the denarius dropped. My grace is all you need. Be my apostle. Be my proclaimer. Be my servant. Whether in life or whether in death, we do it for the Lord. And so he says to me, I am the very least of the saints. This grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you want to get an idea of what he meant by that, you need to turn to Acts chapter 26. And if you have your Bibles handy, I'm sure there will be one in the back of the seat just behind you, or in front of you rather. In the 26th chapter, he makes a defense, amongst others, to men like King Agrippa. He talks about why he was called the way he was called. He talks about the first time he ever heard Jesus say the word, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He heard the Lord say to him, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" This is verse 15 of Acts 26. "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, stand up on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people, from the Gentiles, and to whom I am sending you to do this, to open their eyes, so that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Wow. That's what he meant when he talked about this, getting to have the grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have the boldness and the access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering, which is for your glory. Then he said, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. I drop to my knees in prayer." I remember Years ago, you would see older, in particular, men, who when it would come time to pray, they would step out from the pew, and they would get down on their knees and pray. There are times when I get down on my knees, I need help to get up. But you know something? There's something to be said about that simple gesture of bowing the knee to look up to God and to ask for His mercy and help. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being." That it would get to the inside. That it would get to the core of us, of each individual. And why? His prayer would go on to say, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. But is that faith developing? Is that faith growing? Is that faith expanding? We've got a lot of things to do at Mountain View for God's glory, not for ours. We were created for the glory of God, for the glory and praise of God. If you happen to acquaint yourself with the prayer list that is published each week in the directory or in the bulletin and also on the overhead, there is a need for us to spend more time in prayer. We've got a lot to pray about. There are times, yes, like Paul writes about himself. He says, there are times that we are at a loss at what to say. What to talk about. Because sometimes we just don't know what to say or how to pray. But I think Paul is touching about a development in faith in the church at Ephesus, that prayer would become as natural as breathing. As natural as drinking water. We need air and water and food to live. We need God's power, God's presence in our lives to live for His praise, glory, and honor. That according to the riches of glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. When I put my Lord on in baptism in 1964, I knew very little about that power, except to understand that it was the power of God, it was the power of the gospel, it was the power in the blood of the Lamb that was changing my life and expelling all the sins from my life at that moment in time. I have been enriched over the years. As I studied Scripture, I have been enriched by knowing servants of God who have shared their understanding and what the book teaches about the power of God in our lives by way of His Spirit. It's not always that we acknowledge that power. Am I right? In fact, Paul says it was possible to stifle it. It is possible to try to silence His presence in our lives. And you know, there is no greater way to do that than when we pray sparsely to God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Does that mean that we never get any break for bread and water and other things? No. It is, don't stop talking to God. Make it a habit of a lifetime. Make it part of who you are as His child. Who you are as a member of the body of Christ. And by doing that, something will happen to you. The psalmist said in Psalm 46 and verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Are we spending enough time with God in conversation, in prayer, by letting God know what we're trying to say, and then we can really rely on that power that is in us by faith, the Holy Spirit, that on those days where we are at a loss as to what to say or how to say it, that the Spirit who knows us best will take our babbling, our pregnant pauses, our stumbling over the right kind of word. You know, God is more interested in the right kind of heart that's engaged in an attempt to talk to Him. In James chapter 4, and if you have your Bible, just go there real quick. I think I have a James in this Bible somewhere. Yes, I do. James writes, verse 1, he says, what causes quarrels? What causes fights amongst you? That's also the same reason why churches split. If churches who are intent on quarreling and arguing, as in splitting, would spend more time in prayer together and by themselves in communication with God, there would be no split. The body of Christ could truly say, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, one church. Because we are intent on being one with God. He says, is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? Oh, I wish we could turn our passions into turning it for God, to God, in God's name. That there is this burning desire to take the message to a world that is lost. He says, you desire and you do not have. So, you kill, you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain. You fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you don't ask. He says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. For the wrong reasons, for the wrong motive, for the wrong purposes. To spend it on your passion. James chapter 1, verse 5 and following says, you know, if you lack something, ask God. Come back to Ephesians, and we'll wrap this up. Tonight I want to go a little further in the prayers of the book of Ephesians and tie it all together with this section of Scripture that we have heard and are hearing today. Verse 17, he says that, or verse 16, he says, I'm praying this. I'm on my bended knee for you guys. That you may be given the power and the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, in your personal life, in the inside, where it really makes a difference. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, when that happens, isn't that really the cause of why people can see a difference in us? Wasn't that the whole premise behind when people saw and took note that these men had been with Jesus? That it was because of this, there was this power in their lives, was reigning in their lives. It had taken hold of them. They could tell that they had been with Jesus. And then he says, that you being rooted and grounded in love, by the same token, by being rooted and grounded in love, could we not also be rooted and grounded in prayer? In service, in commitment, in the length that we would go to make sacrifices. Well, I'm coming to the punchline, just wait. That you may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. Faith is fully dimensional. Faith is just not on one single plane. Faith and strength and power is something that should be developing in us because we recognize and acknowledge the very presence of Christ and the Spirit and God. And then, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Are you that full this morning? Should we be asking God to fill every part of us, every place, everything that we are? You know, when you read about some of the old saints in the New Testament in particular, people who are full of the Spirit like Stephen. He could do what he could do in the name of God, in the name of Christ, because there was a fullness of his life in his life by the Holy Spirit. That's why they chose the six who would become that prototype for deacons. And elders are not exempt from this either. We have elders who desire and who have this need to constantly be filled with the Spirit that they might discharge their duty, as I am discharging my duty this morning as God's proclaimer here at Mountain View. that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And here's the kicker. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask, we've got a God who is big enough. But are our prayers going far enough? And are they big enough to take in our needs and the needs of those, even our enemies? We want a building, don't we? Do you know something? God needs to know what we're going to do with that building. God just doesn't hand out buildings willy-nilly. He wants to know for what purpose we ask him for this building. And are we asking him on a daily basis the things that are truly the priority of us as God's assembly here at Mount View? I truly pray that if God does grant us this one aspect of what we should all be praying about, not just the building is the only thing we pray for, that we would pray that he would make us more sacrificial, that our love would know no bounds, according to 1 Corinthians 7 and following, that our love would know no bounds, that our faith would know no bounds, that our prayers and our commitment and our servanthood would know no bounds. In other words, no limits. But sometimes we come to God with such small, infrequent requests, almost not wanting to bother God. God wants us to imagine. It takes faith to imagine, doesn't it? If we get a building on that property on Peterson and North Carefree, I'm not thinking of pews. I'm not thinking of the worship hall. I'm not thinking about the fabric. I'm not thinking about the lighting, that it makes me look good. I'm thinking about people. People we have not yet met. I have many people in this city, he said to Paul of Corinth and other places. I have other people who are anxious to hear the word of the Lord. Pray for that. Pray imagining this. And a building will come. Let us not try to force God's hand. God will not be forced. To him who is able to do far more abundant than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, according to the power at work within us, if that power is not turned on, do you think it will happen? If that power is not recognized, if that power is not submitted to, do you think that we can force things to be that God will not allow? I want a new building. But not at the cost of souls. But I want a new building. if we can use it to His glory to bring souls into the kingdom, be nice to have new furnishings, wouldn't it? You know something? The building is not the church. We are. He says, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all the people say, Amen. So, may what we ask for know no limits, but let's put a spiritual spin on it. Let's keep it spiritually toned to everything that we ask for, not for our glory, but for His. The church in Jerusalem got off to a great start. They didn't have a building then. And I don't know too many places where they had buildings in the first century, but eventually they did get buildings. But you see, a building is just a tool. And God is wanting to see what we did with this one. We need to start filling these pews, folks. Filling with people who have been saved by the grace of God. If we get earnest and serious on that part of the mission, God will give us two buildings. God does not live in temples built with hands. He lives in us. But I'll tell you something. God will bless every effort, every prayer that asks, that is big enough, that imagines. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know I love you. I want what we need, first and foremost. And that's on God's agenda. I'll tell you something. If we can't get with the Great Commission, we don't deserve a new building. I mean that. I believe we can. I believe God hears and answers our prayer. But I'll tell you, we need to up the frequency a little bit. Make it a habit. Talk to God about everything. Talk to God about what's lacking in your life and what you recognize as a strength in your life. God needs for us to be honest with Him. Let's be honest with one another. You're not a Christian, I call you to Jesus. I call you to repent. I call you to confess with your own lips Jesus to be the Son of the living God. I call you to His way of salvation. I call you to the waters of baptism if you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the only way you're getting in the kingdom, because Jesus is the doorkeeper. He is the way, He is the truth, He is your life. He is your lifeline to God. Won't you come? All together we stand and pray.
He leadeth me home.